glad you're here. Turn, if you would, to hymn 241. Let's begin with Grace Greater Than Our Sin. A great hymn, a great message. 241, stand everyone if you would. Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord, hymn 241. Everyone join together singing.
Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord.
Songs that talk about some of the great attributes of God. Grace. I love that word. There's a lot of words I like in the Bible, but grace is one of my favorite words in all the Bible, because it's for by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. Well, visitors, God bless you. Thank you for choosing to be at Trinity Baptist Church here on this Sunday morning. We know that you're here by choice, and we are grateful that you're here. We're honored that you'd come to the Trinity Baptist Church and honor us with your presence here in this morning service. We do have ushers at this time that have visitor's cards. Here's what we'd like for you to do. We'd like for you to take that visitor's card, fill it out with the information about yourself, detach it, drop it in the offering plate when it passes here in just a few moments, just so that we'll have a record that you are our guest here on this particular day here at Trinity Baptist Church. Now, so that our ushers can find you, it would be much easier for them to find you if you're not a member of Trinity Baptist Church. If you would just be seated right where you are. All of our members remain standing. If you're visiting with us, just be seated. Ushers, come right ahead, find our guests, put a card in their hand, and we just simply ask to fill that information out, drop it in the offering plate. We would oblige if you would do that. Thank you for being here this morning. Now, folks, a lot of things to pray about. We've got a lot of folks in our church that are facing surgery this week. Pray for Mrs. Hernandez. We've been praying for her delivery of little Zachary David for some time. Tomorrow's the day, whether he likes it or not. All right? So I know that Mrs. Hernandez will like it. And so pray for her if you would. And Lord willing, tomorrow they'll have a healthy little baby boy. And so remember her in prayer if you would. And then pray for our services throughout the day, both our English and Spanish ministries, and then our afternoon programs with our bus ministry, as people will be preaching and teaching the Word of God there. And so pray for those ministries as well. And again, on behalf of myself, the entire church staff, God bless you for being here this morning. Take your hymn book, if you would, once again, and find hymn number 7. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up. Hymn 7. Brother Reed, come lead.
Hymn number 7. We'll start it this morning with the first verse. Great old hymn. Sing together now. Hymn 7 together.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Boy, that's what we're asking God to do today. We're glad you're here. Welcome those around you now. Shake hands with friends and neighbors and guests. Let them know you're glad to see them today. Wonderful little chorus. It's 233 in the hymn book. 233, For God So Loved the World. Everyone join together singing,
For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday He's coming back. What glory that will be! Wonderful His love to me.
One of the greatest verses in all the Bible, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. People ask, say, when does eternal life begin, preacher? The moment you receive it. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell y'all, Jesus didn't come back yesterday. All right, so y'all figured that out when you woke up this morning, right? All right, just wanted to let you know, everything's still intact. Folks, learn the lesson, the scripture, no man knoweth the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. So just when people start it, just mark it off. Say, okay, I know He's not coming that day, for sure. Okay, I had people throughout the week as I was visiting and out soul winning and stuff. Had a man yesterday, knocked on the door and witnessed to him. He was already saved, and I started walking around, and he followed me. He said, hey, preacher, can I ask you something? I said, yeah. He said, do you believe Jesus is coming back today? I said, I know He's coming back, but I can promise you it ain't today. Okay? Because this thing has gone way too far, but I know, listen, even if the Lord decided, you know what, May 21st, just because this guy promoted it, He changed the date. Because no man knoweth the hour. So, folks, just learn the lesson. Just stick with the Word of God. Okay, you'll be fine, and you won't have to worry. And this morning, may I say to you, if you know Jesus Christ, you ain't got anything to worry about. You got a thing in this world. Listen, if death comes, you're with the Lord. If He comes in the eastern sky, you're still with the Lord. So don't worry about it. It'd be all right. All right. God'll He's going to take care, and he's going to come in due time, in due time. And visitors, God bless you for being here with us. Let me encourage you to stay after church for just a moment with us. We do have a visitor's reception. We have some information about our church. If you're seeking God's will about a church home, let me ask you to stay just a few moments after church. And we've got a reception with some light refreshments for you. Get to know a little bit about you and about our church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Justin Barnett, would you come on up? Brother Justin is starting to wind down. He is getting married in a couple of weeks, and he's starting to wind down as far as a lot of the ministry service here in our church. Him and his new wife, Tiffany Yazzie, will begin to go on deputation here not too long from now, and preparing to go back to the Navajo Reservation in Arizona as missionaries. So I want you to pray for him. Brother Justin, God bless you. Would you ask God to bless you all?
Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for your many blessings that you've given us. Just bless us as we come to church today and we give our offering. Just bless it to further these ministries here and around the world, Lord. Bless Brother Lester as he comes to preach before us. Just fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Trusting Jesus. Thank you, Ms. Combs. Our patriotic hymn is 126. Let's stand and sing My Country, Tis of Thee. Sing our first verse this morning. Doing your best. Honor our country. Pray for our country. The direction it's going, we need a lot of prayer. And pray for our troops. Sing together.
My country, tis of thee, sweet land of liberty.
Jesus, to guide me through each day.
Thank you, choir. Let's sing one more this morning, 295, One Day. Stand one more time if you would. One day when heaven was filled with his praises. Hymn 295, everyone singing.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be. Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. Dwelt among sin, thy example is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever.
Sing,
one day
he's
coming.
Singing one day they led him up Calvary's mountain.
One day they nailed him to die on the tree. A suffering anguish despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he.
Singing, living he.
Dying he saved me, buried he carried my sin far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming,
predict today the day, but today would be a good day. Amen. On the last, lift it up now.
One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine.
Let's sing it out now.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Sing, rising he justified freely forever.
Everyone sing now.
One day he's coming, oh glorious name.
Wonderful. Thank you for singing this morning and good songs. Would be seated, and we have Brother Combs' group.
Bound down with care. God gave His Son to win His erring child. He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song. Could we within the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song. God's name in grace to Adam's race. The saints and angels' song.
I'm telling you, the depths of the love of God. You know, it's, I think probably we'll understand it better and much clearer when we see Him face to face. You know, here in this old life, it's hard to believe that God could love us so much that He would send His only begotten Son to die for our sins so that we could be saved. That's how much love God has for us. And the song depicted that, and it's a great truth. And if we could get a hold of that truth, I'm telling you, it'd transform your entire life. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning and join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. We're going to read three verses together, verses 1, 2, and 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I must say, while you're looking, I did not realize Sunday school class that this morning I was teaching on Peter and the life and times of the Apostle Peter. We've been studying, and we just happened to be on the lesson where Peter went back to the fishing business and pretty much forsaken all and went decided to go back to the world and back to fishing. And I kind of pounded that a little bit about, you know, the world not giving you anything when you go back, and you have to work hard. And I didn't realize that Dr. and Mrs. Smith are leaving to go fishing. So they're going on their annual week fishing trip, leaving here. And So he came up to me this morning and he said that he was going fishing. I said, are you going a-fishing or are you going fishing? I'm not going a-fishing like that, though. All right, you find your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Would you stand with me? We're going to read three verses, with our text verse being verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse number 1. The Apostle Paul, writing to a more mature Corinthian group of believers, says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. He says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, because he had such an investment in these people and in this church. He says, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now I want you to notice verse 3. He said, but I fear. He said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And I want you to notice in verse number 3, the word subtlety. Paul said, I fear that when I'm gone, and I fear that in your lives, that as the serpent beguiled Eve, and he used subtlety to do it. And I want to take that verse and speak to you this morning about the subtlety of sin. The subtlety of sin. That word subtlety means sly. It means crafty. It means deceitful, scheming, fraud. And may I say to you today that sin draws a beautiful picture, but it's a fraud. It's a fake. And we've got to realize it. And that subtlety that Paul was concerned about, he said, now that you've matured in Christ, Corinthian believers, he said, my fear is that the subtlety of sin will get in. And he said, corrupt your minds from the simplicity of Christ. Now, Father, we do pray this morning that you would bless the preaching of your word. We do ask that you would show yourself great and mighty in this service. And I pray that you would move in every heart. I pray, Spirit of God, that even as I speak, that you would open the spirit of every man, woman, boy, and child here this morning, every teenager here this morning, that they might receive the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Lord, we're not here today for self-promotion. We're here today to hear something and get something from God. And so we pray that you would do your work now in the hearts, whatever the needs are, meet them today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, sin is an element of life that we must deal with every day that we live. You see, sin is real and it's not going away, folks, until either we die or Jesus returns and gives us a new body. You know, here in our today, in our day and time, and people don't like to be identified with sin. People don't like to be called sinners, and yet we'll look in just a moment what the Bible says about sin. Listen to me, it's real. It is real. It's a fraud, though. It's scheming, sly, crafty. It's deceitful. May I make an analogy here? Sin is like a pesky fly at a picnic. You know that you can't ever catch or kill, but it lights on everything on the table and kind of puts its stamp of approval on every piece of chicken. You know, and then once it lights up, we're thinking, ah, we can't eat that. So you throw that away, and then you see people out there, man, they're trying to catch it, and people out there, why? Because it flies around like a pesky little fly and lights on everything that you want to consume. May I say to you, that's how sin is. You can't ever catch it, but it's going to light on everything that you like. Everything that you want to do for God, anything you want to do for God, it's going to try to find its way into that. It's kind of like the dog next door that barks all night and you can't get any sleep. Amen. I've got one of those dogs next door that barks all night for now. God may be calling that dog home here for long. But can I say that sin is like that dog? Yap, 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 all night long. You can't sleep. You can't get any rest. It just seems like it's never going to end. You toss and turn. You wake up the next day exhausted because that dog kept you up all night long. You know what sin does? It will absolutely exhaust you. It will absolutely exhaust you to no ends. It's kind of like that leaky faucet that drips constantly all day long and all night. And here's where we go. It drips and drips, and we don't try to fix it. But what we try to do is we try to go and take the handle and turn them tighter. Or we'll try to take something and stick up the faucet, you know, stick a cloth or something, trying to stop it. May I say to you, you're not going to stop it. You're going to have to fix it. It's not going to stop on its own. Just like that fly is not going to stop marking your chicken legs on the picnic table until you kill it. The dog's not going to start barking until you... Well... till you pray about it. See, I was going trying to think of a spiritual thing to say. You see, sin is annoying. It's attacking. It's afflicting. It's anonymous. It's abhorring. It's abominable. It's amiss. It's armed. Listen to me. And it's after you. It's after you. It's after everything that you desire in life. You see, sin is not subject to man's definition of what sin is, but rather is defined very clearly in the Word of God. You see, if I polled everybody in this room and I said, listen, I want you to write down on this 3x5 card what the definition of sin is. Some would probably write down something like this. I went online and I just typed in sin and the definition of sin, and this site came up and I clicked on there and it had all these people that gave their definition of what sin is. Now, I couldn't write them all down, but I'll give you some. Some said that sin is just missing the purpose of human existence. Wow, if that's all it is, just missing the purpose of what we're here for, then you know what? That's not so bad. But some also said that sin is just when you think too much about yourself. Well, my goodness, if that's all it is, then you know what? Hey, not too bad. Some said that sin is a mistake. It's kind of like sticking your finger in a light socket. I've made that mistake before. Some said sin is just not living up to your fullest potential. And I could go on and on and on. But may I define to you this morning what God says sin is? Because that's the definition that we're going to be held accountable to. I'm not going to be held accountable to whether I meet my fullest potential. I'm not going to be held accountable to whether I miss the purpose of life. I'm going to be held accountable to the definition that the Word of God gives us. And John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4, the Scripture says, for sin is the transgression of the law. It's the transgression of God's rule and standard of living. It's the transgression of God's standard of relationship or His purpose and plan and will for our lives. You see, that word transgression means to violate or cause a breach or to pass over. You see, God says that sin is anything that doesn't line up with the book and His way. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. John goes on to say, all unrighteousness is sin. Everything that doesn't line up with what God says is right is sin. And it's very simple to figure out the difference between right and wrong. Some of us get delusional about what's right and what's wrong. Because what happens, the Scripture says, that way too many of us, we do that which is right in our own eyes.
So what happens is we define sin and we live according to our definition. You say, well, preacher, what does all unrighteousness mean? Well, James chapter 4, verse number 17 says this. I think this will shed some more light on that. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if I know to do right, and I know what I'm supposed to do, and I know I'm supposed to line up with the Bible, and I know I'm supposed to keep the promises of God and obey them, and I don't do it, guess what it is? It's sin. James chapter 2, verse number 9 says, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. So what does that mean, preacher? That means if you treat people differently because of who they are or how much money they have or how they dress or the way they comb their hair, he said, that's sin. He said, if you have respect to persons. John chapter 14, verse 23 says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You say, man, love is pretty tough. Yeah, because that's God's definition. You know why? The conclusion of the matter is this. Galatians 3:22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. You know why? Because everything that I just read you, we're all guilty of. So the Scripture has concluded everybody is under sin. Say, preacher, I got a question there. Would you define the word all? Of course, I'll define the word all. I'll even use the Greek to define it. You say, all right, good. I want to get back to the original Greek. Here's what the word all means. All. It means everybody excluding nobody. That means every person outside of Jesus Christ that has ever walked the face of the earth has sinned against God. So it says the Scriptures concluded all under sin. We said, well, how did it get here? Well, Romans chapter 5, verse number 12 tells us that. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, listen, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 and 11. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Listen to this. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. I think we can come to the conclusion then that everybody is under sin. Everybody has offended God at some point. May I remind you that the Pharisees, the religious people of Jesus' day, found a woman caught in the very act of adultery. They brought her to Jesus and cast her down at Jesus' feet. Says, she was caught in the very act. What are you going to do about that? They brought her to Jesus, and here was his response in John chapter 8. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And you know what they did? The Bible said they did not. They dropped their stones and walked away. You know why? Because they realized they likewise fell under the condemnation of sin, even though they were the religious crowd. Now listen carefully. They could not cast a stone because they knew in their heart that they were sinners themselves. Now listen very carefully what I'm saying this morning. Sin is very subtle. It's very scheming. It's very sly. And again, it paints a beautiful picture, but has nothing in return. Now, what I wanted to do this morning is simply give you three things to think about real quick about sin. Now, in order to find our first item, we're going to have to go to the Old Testament for just a moment. Turn to Isaiah chapter 59. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter number 59. And take a look there with me, if you would, please. Isaiah chapter number 59. Look in verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Listen to verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now listen, the sin is so subtle. Sin is such a scheming fraud that it doesn't tell you at the beginning all the repercussions by getting involved in it. Now listen, here's what it does. The Scripture says very clearly, number one, sin separates. You hear me? Sin separates. You say, but who does it separate us from, preacher? Well, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, you'll find Adam and Eve there when they sinned against God. It separated them from God. Peter's sin, when he denied the Lord, it separated him from Jesus Christ. It separates us from God. For a lost man, listen carefully. For a lost man this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ or you don't know what's going to happen to you when you die, listen to me, sin has separated your relationship with God. When Adam and Eve were separated from their God in the Garden of Eden, their relationship was severed with God because of sin. That's a relationship that God wants back. You see, it's not that God doesn't want the relationship. The question is, do you want the relationship? It's not that God doesn't want to bridge the gap. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care about you and doesn't want to take care of your sin situation. You see, for a lost man, it separates us from a relationship with God. You see, a man or a woman that's lost their spouse in death. You see, the thing is, I cannot restore that relationship myself. May I say to you that only a divine intervention can restore that relationship? Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. There was a man in the Bible, a very wealthy man, a very upstanding man by the name of Jairus. His daughter had passed away. She had been severed, separated from her relationship with her father and with her mother. Jesus came to his home, raised that little girl from the dead, listen to me, and restored the relationship. Only by divine intervention can that happen. And so as a person this morning, if you know not Jesus Christ, listen to me, the only way that that relationship can be restored is by divine intervention. That's the only way. May I remind you that Lazarus likewise was restored back to his sisters. But you know what it took? Divine intervention. May I remind you that there was a widow from the town of Nain whose son, they were on their way out to bury him, until they came in contact with Jesus. And when they came in contact with Jesus, He raised that boy from the dead and restored the relationship. Listen, the only way that your relationship can be restored and sin be forgiven, there must be divine intervention this morning. There must be, because sin separates us from God. But you know, for a saved man, a believer, see, with a lost man, it separates relationship, but for a believer, it separates fellowship. Maybe you've stepped aside from your walk with God. Maybe you've kind of got out of warts with God, and maybe you've stepped aside from following Him. May I say to you this morning that sin that separated that fellowship, did you know that fellowship can be restored? You say, oh, preacher, how do I restore the fellowship? Well, let's see. In the Scripture, 1 John 1:9, big word right at the beginning. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the thing about it is, as a believer, when I step out of line with God and I need fellowship restored, listen, I don't have to go back and ask Him to save me again. All I've got to do is ask Him to forgive me. And fellowship can be restored. Hey, when I was a kid growing up, well, you're talking about somebody that got out of tune with mom and dad a lot. That was me. But you know, when I got out of tune with mom and dad and they got disappointed with me, do you know I didn't have to go back to my mom and say, I'm sorry, Mom, we're going to have to go back to the hospital. Son, what are you talking about? Yeah, we're going to have to go back to the hospital because since I've displeased you, I'm going to have to go back. You're going to have to give birth to me again. Now, you mamas, one time is enough, right? You see, what I'm saying to you is when we get crossways with God, you don't have to be born again. When you get crossways with God as a Christian, all you have to do is come back and just get the forgiveness. And listen, you say, what would your mama have said if you'd have gone back? She'd have said, honey, I knew it was just a matter of time. He's gone crazy. He thinks we got to go back to the hospital and I've got to give birth to him again because he stepped out of line with us. He disobeyed us. Listen, it's no more foolish than a person that claims to be a child of God to go back and tell God, listen, I need to be forgiven of my sins again. Come into my heart and save me again. It's no different. Because what you want God to do is birth you again and again and again and again and again. Hey, one birth's enough. Amen. Every mama should say amen right there. Now, all I'm saying to you is this, that for a Christian, it just separates you from fellowship with God. If you're here this morning, you're out of fellowship with God, let me invite you to come, because that fellowship can be restored. But see, sin separates. It separates us from God. Listen to me. It separates us from family and friends. You hear me? It separates us from family and friends. Remember in Matthew chapter 18 when Peter came to Jesus? The scripture says, then came Peter to Jesus and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And Jesus went on to tell him, well, remember, if you'll remember, Peter said, can I forgive him seven times? Jesus said, no. How about 70 times seven? In other words, every time he comes back, I'm to forgive. But you know what it does? It separates. Here, Peter was saying, what if my brother comes and sin and separates us from one another? What am I to do? He said, you go make it right. May I remind you that Cain, because of his sin of killing his own brother Abel, you know what happened? He got separated from his family. God sent him out as a vagabond. He said, oh, Lord, I can't bear this. Well, listen to me. That's what sin will do, because when it separates you, you don't think you can bear it. You see, Cain was separated from his family, from his mom and daddy, Adam and Eve. May I remind you, because of Lot's compromise and permissive lifestyle, you know what sin did to him when he left Sodom and Gomorrah? Separated him from his family. Because you know some of the people that got left behind? Some of his own children got left behind and died and went off into an eternity without God because of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm just here to tell you that sin, listen to me, this morning according to the Scripture, it separates. And everybody in here, sin gets in there. If you're a child of God, it'll separate you from fellowship. If you're not a child of God, it separated you from your relationship. Listen. Everybody in here wants to be right with God, or you wouldn't be in church this morning. Amen. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have some inkling in your heart about getting right with God. Well, listen, if God sent you here, then take care of business. Restore relationship. Restore fellowship this morning. But may I say to you, not only does sin separate, listen carefully, sin isolates. I'll tell you a quick story. You don't have to turn there. You can read it if you want to read it in your spare time in 2 Chronicles chapter 21. There was a son, oldest son, born to Jehoshaphat by the name of Jehoram. Jehoram became king over Judah. The problem is he followed after the sins of the kings of Israel. Now, his first mistake is he married Ahab's daughter. You listen to me? Y'all remember Jezebel? Nobody names their kid Jezebel. So Jehoram married the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. What do you think he was getting in that deal? That was a mistake. But then what happened was that the scripture said he did evil in the eyes of God. He married Ahab's daughter. Listen now. Sin had taken him so far, had not only separated him from God and separated him from his family, it had separated him so far that just in case any of his sibling brothers wanted to try to rise up against him, he killed them all. No competition. So he slew all of his siblings. But wait a minute, that's not all. Then he led the people of God. Then he led the people to worship idols. Now what he had done is his sin had separated him. Then he became isolated. And I want you to listen. Here's the epitaph that God put in the Bible about Jehoram. In 2 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 20, listen to it. It says, Jehoram departed without being desired. In other words, you know what? When he died, everybody said, good riddance. Died not being desired. Probably died alone. Died in shame. But you listen to me. You know what sin will do? Not only will it separate, it will isolate you. It'll isolate you from people. Oh, by the way, if people don't want to hang around you because of your lifestyle, there may be a reason why. And the thing is, we need to, listen, we don't need to be offended at that. What we need to do is we need to examine ourselves. Why are they not wanting to be around me? Is there a problem? Do they see something in my life? You see, both Cain and Lot experienced isolation. Cain was sent out by himself. Lot ended up by himself. This morning, if we're living an ungodly life, if we're living outside the will of God, let me tell you something, sin is going to isolate you, and you need to think about that. You know what sin will cause in your life? It'll cause loneliness. Isolation and loneliness. It can cause depression. It can cause foolishness. Why? Because you despise who you are because of sin. That gets a hold of you. It separates and then it isolates. And many times, folks, when you get isolated, that's usually when the devil starts working big time in isolation. So I'm here to tell you that sin separates, sin isolates, and then may I give you one more tonight, or this afternoon, morning, whatever it is. See, I didn't get any sleep over that dog last night. That's what it is. I said sin separates. Separates us from God, from family and friends. Number two, I said it isolates. Jehoram had gotten so bad and died. The scripture says his epitaph, God put on there that he departed without being desired. Nobody even cared. Unloved because of sin. And then may I say number three, sin not only separates, sin not only isolates, listen, sin eliminates. You hear? Sin eliminates. You say, how does it eliminate? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You say, what death is that you're talking about there? Well, James chapter 1, verse number 5, reemphasizes that. It says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You say, what death are you talking about there, preacher? According to Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8, it's called the second death. You see, this morning, whether we realize it or not, that as a, if we're here this morning without Jesus Christ, and you do not know the Lord, and you die without the Lord, may I say, you will experience two deaths. You will experience a physical death. Then according to Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8, you will also experience a spiritual death. That means eternal separation from God. But if you're here this morning as a child of God, and you've trusted Jesus Christ, glory to God, you'll only experience one death. And that's the physical death. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, I said sin eliminates. I did not say hell annihilates. You hear me? Hey, folks, listen. If there was total annihilation, that means that God just said, you know, I'm tired of you. Poof, you're out of existence. You know, most people take God up on something like that. But sin and hell does not annihilate. But what it does eliminate, it expels, it discharges. Listen, it disqualifies. And may I say to you that sin eliminates those that have not trusted Christ. Sin eliminates them from heaven. People tell me all the time, say, preacher, God wouldn't send anybody to hell. You're right, He doesn't. It's just He disqualifies you from heaven. You say, well, what are the qualifications? Jesus. That's the qualifications. Trusting Jesus, that's the qualification. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to be saved. But because of sin, if we don't take care of it, it eliminates us from heaven. Number two, it eliminates one from eternal peace with God. You ever drive around and see those bumper stickers on people's back of people's car? Pray for peace. Well, you can pray all you want. It ain't coming, folks, until Jesus comes. Okay? Peace will never come to this earth until Jesus comes back as King, sets His kingdom up. Guess what? There will be worldwide peace, but not until that time. You see, the thing about it is without Christ, it eliminates one from heaven, it eliminates from eternal peace, and then it eliminates them from any hope of reunion with any saved family members. You hear me? You say, what about my grandma that I know she was a Christian? Then you know what? If you're here without Christ, you better come and trust Jesus or you won't see grandma no more. You say, oh, preacher, that's hard. Listen, somebody's got to tell it, right? You're not going to see grandma no more. You say, what about my precious mama? Well, if mama was saved, she's with the Lord. If you're not and you don't get saved, you won't see mama no more. Or daddy, or grandpa, or kids. It's just the way it is. You say, who made up these rules? God did. He made them all up. You know what? And gave them to us to follow. And it's very simple, folks. Did you notice that Paul said that his fear was that the serpent that beguiled Eve, that through his subtlety, that he would cause them in their hearts and in their minds to lose focus on the simplicity of Christ? You see, sin eliminates. Man, life, preacher, I came to this church to be encouraged. All I got is bad news. Well, let me leave you with some good news, all right? Romans chapter 5, verse number 20. Listen to this. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You see, the thing about it is, just because the subtlety of sin may have gripped your soul and gripped your life, you listen to me and listen to me well. Sin is here, it does abound, but grace of God much more abounds. That's the reason Jesus Christ came and died for you and became sin for you and for me, so that we could be saved. Listen, no one in this room today has sinned a sin greater than Jesus can forgive. Nobody. You say, preacher, it doesn't matter. You don't understand what I've done. It doesn't matter whether I understand. The Lord already understands. Because all your sins were all future before Jesus ever died. He already knew all of that. You say, well, okay, well, how does it happen then? Well, the Scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, okay, well, how do I get this eternal life? You say, I just don't know if I've got enough faith. Oh, yeah, you got enough faith. Yeah, I know you got enough faith. You say, well, preacher, how can you stand up here and say I've got enough faith? Well, let me ask you, when you got in your car to come to church this morning, did you go raise the hood and check all the fluids and kick all the air in the tires? And did you take the cap off and look at the engine, make sure that all the wires are connected, and took an hour to go through the car and examine it? Say, well, that's stupid. Now, why would I do that? Well, don't you want to make sure your car's running right before you get in and take off? See, most of us didn't do that at all. You know what we did? We went out, we put the key in the ignition, turned the ignition, crang, backed up, put it in gear, took off that, and never even thought twice about it. You know what that's called? Faith. It's called faith. You just got in that, and you know what? This when my truck is running, I got some minor problems with a Toyota product right now. But, hello, Mr. Toyota. I'll be seeing you tomorrow. But what I'm saying to you is that, you know what? When I got out there, put my key, when my Toyota is running, I go out, put my key in it, and it cranks up and I drive off. You mean to tell me you're going to trust Mr. Toyota more than you are Jesus? You see, this morning you can come because sin has separated you. If you're here without Christ, it's separated your relationship. Would you come this morning and restore that relationship? Jesus is waiting. Sin isolates. Jehoram died without being desired because sin had so ransacked his life. It isolated him into loneliness, depression. He was making foolish decisions. May I say to you, if you don't do something about it, sin's going to eliminate. It will eliminate you from heaven. I don't want you to die without Christ. And if you're a child of God this morning, can I say something? If you've stepped out of the will of God, it will eliminate you from the blessings of God as well. You came to church this morning, let's do business for God. Sin is subtle. It paints a beautiful picture, but it pays no dividends. Would you bow your heads this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say this morning, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. I know it from the Bible. If the trumpet was to sound tonight, I know I'm going to heaven. No question about it. Just slip your hand way up.